7:33 a.m. We are joined on a newsmaker line right now by David Williams, who is the head of the Taxpayer Protection Alliance. And we're going to talk about inflation out of control. Who's responsible, David? Welcome to the Tennessee Star Report. I'm in studio along with our all-star panelist, Roger Simon.
Good
morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to know you're protecting us.
Well, I'm trying to. I mean, it's tough when the government, you know, spending all this money. I mean, $10 trillion over the last 2.5 years. So it's a tough job. Trust me.
So yesterday we see March's consumer price index, a rate of 8.5%, a 40-year high. It's not since the days of Jimmy Carter we've seen that kind of disaster. Then we saw the producer's price index going up 11%, which is basically a foreteller of what's going to happen on the consumer side. David, who is responsible for this mess?
Republicans and Democrats. Because, listen, there's been so much government spending and, you know, taxpayer spending over the last 2 years, and that's why we have inflation. We were told in November, when it was 7.5%, that it was temporary, that, you know, don't worry, inflation is temporary, but we're seeing, you know, now 8.5% that it's not temporary. It's going to be around. And I'm concerned that we're going to see a recession because the Federal Reserve is now going to try to, you know, help, you know, I'm using air quotes, help by raising interest rates. And we've seen in the past when that happens, we go into a recession. And listen, this is something that people know instinctively, right? You don't need the Federal Reserve. You don't need me to tell you how bad things are. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gas pump, you know things are bad, and they've been bad for a while.
Okay, so I thought, according to the Biden maladministration, you know, the grifter-in-chief, the legal but not legitimate president of the United States, he says it's all Putin's fault. What's your thought?
Ridiculous, and it makes no sense at all because this was happening before Putin went into Ukraine. And listen, it's a convenient excuse, right? And what happened at the beginning of the Biden administration was very telling. Is he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, we would have been closer to energy independence if he wouldn't have shut that down. So he only has himself to blame. And it's so funny that they say, well, every option's on the table to address gas prices. No, they're not. Because if every option was on the table, we'd be drilling more. And that's what we'd be doing. But their option is expanding electric vehicles and putting electric vehicle charging stations in poor communities. I mean, think about that for a second, is that half of the money for electric vehicle charging stations are going to poor communities. These vehicles cost $50,000, $80,000, $100,000. I don't know many people in these disadvantaged communities that are going to be buying electric vehicles.
Did you ever see the pictures of all the dead electric vehicles in France? They're amazing. They go for miles. There's these graveyards of electric vehicles because the minute their batteries go, nobody can afford to buy them. So there are photographs of this online. The whole climate change thing is one of the big lies of all time.
Well, it is, and it's about virtue signaling. It's not about climate change. It's
exactly.
About, you know, virtue signaling, and I have not seen these pictures, and I would love to see this. Maybe I shouldn't because it would probably just horrify me, but the batteries are made from toxic materials. I mean, the damage that is being done to the earth to get these chemicals and these products to build these cars is incredible. And, of course, we've heard about the wind turbines killing birds and, you know, solar farms killing birds, so I don't know if they're really environmentalists anymore after all.
No, they're anti-environmentalists, and they're also slave labor exploiters in the Congo for the materials for the batteries.
David Williams, the head of the Taxpayer Protection Alliance, you've done a very good job of analyzing what the problem is. Now comes the real tough part. We've got the maladministration of Joe Biden in power. We've got a Democrat Congress, House of Representatives, got a Democrat-controlled U.S. Senate. How do we get out of this inflation mess?
Well, first of all, stop spending. I mean, that's the first thing. And we need to cut spending, and not one of these fake cuts, because in D.C., when they say, well, we're only going to increase spending by 4% this year, not 8%, that's a spending cut. No, that is not a spending cut. If I went to my doctor and I said, hey, doc, I'm only going to gain 50 pounds this year, not 100, did I just lose 50 pounds? Absolutely not. But that's the logic. in D.C.
But so David Williams, the head of the Taxpayer Protection Alliance, the Democrats still control the House. They still control the Senate. And, you know, Joe Biden still can sign legislation into law. They are not going to cut spending between now and January 2023. What's going to happen? And they're going to try and spend more and more and more. That's all the when there's a problem, they still want to spend more. They're doubling down on it.
Well, and COVID will come back again and again and again and to make us spend more, supposedly.
So am I being overly pessimistic here, David?
No, you're not. You're being realistic, is because they're already talking about another COVID relief bill. And listen, November is coming very quickly. And we, you know, killed the Build Back Better bill. So that was something good that happened, because that was going to spend up to $5 trillion over 10 years. I mean, that was going to be a massive expansion of government. So we were able to kind of beat that back. And listen, right now, we have to play defense. And we have to get to November and hopefully change the House and the Senate so in 2023 we can have some Republicans, and I'm hoping some strong-willed Republicans, that will come in and make some fundamental differences in this budget and spending. And, you know, tax day is only a few days away, and people, if the inflation wasn't enough, now it's a double whammy of tax day on Monday.
David Williams, head of the Taxpayer Protection Alliance, thanks so much for joining us. And will you come back again and tell us if we're getting better or worse?
Well, as long as you don't get too depressed about what I say.
That's great. Keep doing what you're doing, David.
What a great ending line. Thanks, David, for joining us. This is Roger. Hey, he makes some pretty good points there, doesn't he?
He's absolutely on the money. On our money, I should say.
By the way, Roger, if you go to the Tennessee Star, TennesseeStar.com, we have a new feature right on the homepage. It's one of the blocks right next to the headline image. It's called the Tennessee Gas Misery Index. We calculate this every day. It shows how much the average person has spent extra in the past 12 months for gasoline. Since Biden's been in the office.
Oh, it's horrible.
Would you like to know what that number is?
I'm so glad I left California, because the number would be double what it is.
You don't have an electric vehicle, right? You've got a gas-powered vehicle.
I'm a Luddite who has a gas.
Yeah, yeah. The utility rates are going to go up, too, so that'll influence
They already have.
Yeah. $732 more this year for gasoline from the average Tennessee driver.
Of course, and this note this, voters. This is worse for people who have less money and who have to live further from their jobs. The Democratic Party is anti-working class. It used to be the working class party. It now loathes the working class.
That they absolutely do. And if you look at, what are the policies of the Democratic Party? I mean,
it's the rich man's party.
Yeah, and the left-wing, socialist, social justice warriors.
Yeah, well, that's the excuse for the rich men. The rich men say, hey, I'm left-wing, but they're making out like bandits. It's a totally hypocritical.
We've got more going on. You were talking a little bit. We had a 5th Congressional District candidate in the GOP primary, former Speaker of the Tennessee House, Beth Harwell, on the Newsmaker line yesterday. We talked to her about the Department of Education, and she indicated ultimately she would favor abolishing the Department of Education, ultimately. But her first step would be to – see, we kind of pushed her on that a little bit. Because I would like to see it abolished immediately.
Oh, good. I wrote a piece a couple of days ago for the Epoch Times that – people loved, because I advocated abolishing the department immediately. Of course, I think Beth is correct. It's very hard to do. And she's also correct that one of the smartest things to do is to start going and whittling away at its power as much as you can.
So this is where I think I probably would differ from Beth on this, and possibly from you. Mm-hmm. She said, when she was with us yesterday, she said, what she would do, the first thing she would do is introduce bills to reduce the funding and power of the Department of Education on the theory that it would be incrementally the way to go. I say, no, we've been incremental too long.
1 minute.
Just go there right away and introduce a bill to abolish the Department of Education.
Listen, as they say, the racetrack, pick 'em,
Yeah. Is that a pick'em?
That's a pick'em. I'll go for either approach. Also, I have a funny story about my past in this with then-Governor Rick Perry, I can tell you guys.
Let's get that story in here. Go right now.
Very quickly. I used to write speeches for him. At the time that he was on the air in that debate and couldn't remember the departments that he was going to—
He said he's
going
to eliminate like four departments. Yeah, he
couldn't remember
three.
Of course, number one was the Department of Education. Yeah. And the real sad story is Rick was under painkillers at the time. He couldn't remember because he just had back surgery, and he was a leading candidate at the time. So who knows if he had told the audience, hey, I just have some painkillers, gave himself an excuse, and got elected, we wouldn't have a Department of Education.
Right, well, now. There you go. Wishes and dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have more with Roger Simon and News Potpourri when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.